Good morning, Pantai Baptist Church. It is great that we can worship God together today. Our message will come from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. The title of today's sermon, By Grace Through Faith. Please open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. I'm using the English Standard Version, ESV. Let us pray. Oh, Father in heaven, what a marvelous passage because of your great love with which you so love us. Even when we were dead in trespasses, make us alive together with Christ. Thank you, Father. I pray that this morning you will help all of us to have humble gratitude to listen to your word, and our life will be transformed and make alive by the power of your Holy Spirit. And we will fill with joy in knowing of your truth and resurrected by your truth. And we will live a life that is what you have intended for all of us. A life that is full of your power, full of your blessing, as we alive in Christ. Father, I know everything is possible through you. I plead with you, please make it happen for all of us who listen to your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Very often, Christians ask the question, what does it mean to be safe? What does it mean to be a Christian? There are a lot of people, as we know, claiming to be Christian, but it is obvious that they don't know the full meaning of it. Many believe that their sins have been forgiven by God. Jesus is their Savior, and they have a reserved spot in heaven waiting for them. And they go on living their old life that are no different from the people in this world. However, as a result, the way they live often lacks heavenly joy and peace, lack of the understanding and experience of the love of God, the reality of God, the power of God, and the full blessing of abundant life from God. Isn't that sad? It is like you have a Ferrari, but you do not know it. You drive your Ferrari as if it is a Canchil. Okay? Nothing's wrong with driving a Canchil. This is just an illustration for your understanding. So I hope our study of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10 will help you to see clearer. Clearer picture of salvation and understanding what it means to be saved. Apostle Paul presented salvation in three tenses, past, present, and future. Verses 1 to 3 in past tense, verses 4 to 6 and 8 to 9 in present tense, and verses 7 and 10 in future tense. Verses 1 to 3, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Follow the course of this world. Follow the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desire of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Here describe the condition of every individual who doesn't know God. If you are truly a saved and born again Christian, this is your past. Their condition is death. But you might ask, Paul, what do you mean dead? We are pretty much alive all this time. What Paul is saying here is spiritual death in our relationship with God. In the parable of prodigal son found in Luke chapter 15, verse 24, the father said, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." If you remember the parable, the prodigal son left his father and his family with his portion of inheritance. He was separated from his father. In his relationship with his father, he was death. Because he will no longer listen to his father, obey his father, spend time with his father, do things for his father, and honor his father. For the father, he will not be able to do anything for his son, no longer be able to bless his son, show his love to him, care for him, pamper him, and talk to him. The prodigal son is death in relationship with his father. Verse 1 says, "And you were dead." We were spiritually dead in relation with God because we were separated from Him. We were born separated from God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 says, "They are alienated from the life of God." Starting from Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve wanted to be like God, they sinned against God by disobeying Him. After that, all mankind, generation after generation, was born separate from God with the sinful desire to disobey Him. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us, "Therefore, just as sins came into the world through one man, the death through sin, is so death spread to all men because all sin." I read this again. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sin." Sin came into this world through one man, Adam. And we are all descendants of Adam. God instructed Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. God commanded man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." They can eat of every tree in that garden, but only the fruit of that one tree they should not take and eat. Still, they disobey God. And on that day, when they disobey God, they die. When they decided to disobey God, they sinned against God and were alienated from the life God intended for them to live. They were dead in relationship with God. They were separated from God. And we, who are Adam descendants, are also born separated from God. We are born dead. Imagine if you were deported by Malaysian government, became refugee in another country, and you live in refugee camp. You then give birth to few children in that refugee camp. What happened to your children? They are separated from Malaysia. They will no longer enjoy the privilege of being Malaysian citizens. It was not because of anything they did. They are just separated from Malaysia because of their parents. Therefore, their children, will also be separated from Malaysia. They have no legal relationship with Malaysia. Likewise, when we are separated from God, we have no spiritual relationship with God. We are spiritually dead in relationship with God. You see, many people think sin is due to what we do, but it is actually also what we fail to do. When we are born dead, when we are born separated from God, we fail to live the life that God intended for us to live. And that is sin against God. God, who is our creator, and we are his creation, created us for a purpose, his purpose. He has an eternal plan for us to live the life that he has intended for us to live. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, verse 11 to 12, Dr. Tony Fu previously explained very clearly to us the plan of God for us and the life he intended for us to live. Let me recap in summary. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. God's plan is to adopt us as his children, make us holy and blameless in his eyes, so that he can bless us with every spiritual blessing from heaven. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 to 12. God's will is to have us become heir of his inheritance with his Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can bring praise to his name and glory. I repeat here, so that we can bring praise to his name and glory. Like every earthly father, we work so hard for our family and our children. It is music to our ear when our children say to us, "Dad, I love you," or "Mom, I love you," and see that big smile on their face. That is the best reward for us as parents. So, when all of us who hear this today, go to your parent and say to them, "Dad or Mom, I love you. Thank you for all that you have done for me." This will be the most beautiful music and best reward to them. And that is God's plan for us. The kind of life he intended for us to live. He wants to love us and care for us as his children, and for us to love him and say to him, "Father, Abba Father, I love you. Thank you for everything you have done for me." But humans from Adam and Eve are like the prodigal son. We did not know him. We were separated from him. We disobeyed him. We rejected him. We wanted to be our own God. We sinned against him and reject his love for us. That is why Paul said we were dead in trespasses and sin. Verse 2, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, follow the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the son of disobedience. We were dead because we were disobedient to God. Follow the course of this world, which is influenced by Satan. Paul speaks of the ideological world of sin, the conceptual world of evil, the system of Satan. We were born into a world that is already under Satan's influence. The news every day shows there is something clearly wrong with this world. So many unrighteous acts, countless wicked crimes. A few months ago, I met with my high school friend. They complained about the unrighteous government and political leader, corruption in the business world. They say that it is getting harder for us and our children to live in this world. So I asked them, what do we need to change to make things better? They thought for a second and said, maybe we should move to Mars. Then I asked, would it be any different in Mars if it is still governed by humans? They were quiet. Today, with technological advancement and better education, we have more people graduate from colleges and universities. But our world system doesn't seem to be getting better in terms of morality and integrity. Why? Because we are living in a world influenced by Satan. We were once living like the people in this system. We follow, accept, embrace the value of this system. We didn't see anything wrong with the system that drove us to disobey God and reject His love for us. We thought we were living, but yet we are so deaf, so blind, and so lost. Verse 3, among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desire of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Let me read this again. Among whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desire of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. We were dead because we live only to fulfill our fleshly desire. We were driven by the sinful craving that God hates. We didn't need to be taught how to lie, how to cheat, how to hurt another person, how to commit sinful acts, and how to hide our sin. There is this inborn, corrupted human nature that tries to exist apart from God. Without the law of God moving our heart, without the will of God driving us, without being able to understand God, we then become God of our own universe. We become the center of our world, and what matters to us are whatever we want, whatever our body cries for, whatever our mind cries for. And this always causes us to sin against God. And we then become targets of God's wrath. That was our past condition. Paul told us how terrible our past condition was when we were separated from God. In order for us to understand the greatness of God, grace, and need for salvation. Let me repeat there. Paul told us how terrible our past condition was when we were separated from God, in order for us to understand the greatness of God's grace and need for salvation. You see, we will not understand how good the good news is until we truly understand how bad the bad news is. Now, here come my favorite verses in this passage. But God, from you were dead to but God. Oh, I love that. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, make us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Wow, how beautiful is that? But God, being rich in mercy. What is mercy? To put it simply, mercy speaks of what God doesn't do to us, even though we deserve it. We deserve to be punished. We deserve to be judged. We deserve to be condemned. We deserve to be sent to hell. But God, wow, the beautiful words, being rich in mercy, hold back His judgment. Here, it is not just with mercy, but being rich in mercy. Rich, abundant, loaded, plentiful, full of mercy. He hold back His judgment toward us. And by grace, you have been saved. In another word, by grace, we are delivered from judgment. God extended His grace to us. What is grace? Grace is when God forgives us. In spite, mercy doesn't give us what we deserve. Grace gives us what we don't deserve. I repeat here again, so you understand clearly what is mercy. Mercy doesn't give us what we deserve. Grace gives us what we don't deserve. So, God extended His forgiveness toward us in spite of our trespasses, in spite of our sin, in spite of our worldliness, in spite of being dominated by Satan, in spite of living in disobedience and being driven by our selfish desire, in spite of being target of His divine wrath, God stepped in and showed sinner mercy and grace. With mercy, He withhold the judgment we deserve. With grace, He releases forgiveness we don't deserve. You might ask, why? Because the great love with which He loved us. How amazing is that? Even when we were dead in our trespasses, make us alive together with Christ. May I repeat that? Because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, make us alive together with Christ. The Creator of the universe, the Lord of heaven and earth, the mighty God from eternal to eternal, the great I am, who is the beginning and the end, loves us with his great love. He reaches out to love us who are so offensive to him because of our sin and rejection of his love. We rejected him as God, disobeyed him, didn't give him the honor he deserved. We were ungrateful for all he has done for us, yet he comes and pours out his love to us. He gave his son to die on the cross for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God showed his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us on the cross to redeem us and make us alive. We are no longer alienated from God. He makes us alive. We reconcile with him, become his children. Like the father of the prodigal son, our Father in heaven said to us, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. How amazing is that? That is salvation, my friend, offered by our God who loves us so much. And that is not all. Listen here. Verse 6. He raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Oh my. Not only God with mercy hold back his judgment on us, with grace, he also forgave us. With love, he died for us on the cross to redeem us and make us alive. But he has raised us with Christ and seated us with him in heaven. Yes, you hear me right. We are already seated in the heavenly place with our Lord Jesus Christ. The verses here are in the past tense. The work is already done. If you are a Christian, you already have a seat in heaven with Christ. I'm talking about position, not physical presence. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 said, our citizenship is in heaven. Yes, God has made us citizens of heaven, seated together with his son, Jesus Christ. We are no longer of this world. We have been transformed out of this world. Let me repeat it. We are no longer of this world. We have been transformed out of this world. In John chapter 17, verse 16 says, Jesus prayed, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Wow, isn't this wonderful? We are together with Christ as citizens of heaven. Sinners like us, who are so offensive to God, who deserve hell, but God make us to be citizens of heaven, his children, his very own. And there's more. Verse 7. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Can you believe that? The blessing continues. Are you overwhelmed yet? I am. When I prepare this message, I have to stop and breathe to take it all in. I weep with joy and in awe before God. I worship Him and praise Him and thank Him for His love for me. Let us take a deep breath here as to take it all in. Here it said, the age to come. Do you know when the age to come begin? They begin immediately when you are safe. The moment you are safe, the age to come begin. And God wants to show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us, to Christ Jesus. When? The moment we are safe. You see, we are safe not primarily to keep us out of heaven, but God saved us in order that He could be kind to us forever. He wants to shower His grace, His blessing, and His riches on us. And God, He can't wait to shower us with His riches of His grace and kindness. Just the moment you are safe, He pour out His blessing. He show His kindness to us. He can't wait to embrace us and kiss us like the father in the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Verse 20 to 24, when the prodigal son came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And that is our Father in heaven. When the moment we are saved, He's run to us and grab us and kiss us. And this son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And see, what is the response of the father? The father said to his servant, bring quickly the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this is my son, was dead and alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. And this is our Heavenly Father, do the same thing. He can't wait to bring the best and shower to us and celebrate with us, because we was dead and is alive again, and we was lost and is found. And the whole heaven celebrate with joy at the moment. Oh, what kind of love, great love is that? It is inexplicable. It is beyond comprehension. The mighty God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords love us so much that He would give His life for us so that we can be redeemed, make alive, raised up to be seated in heaven with Him, in order that He could show us immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us from the moment we are saved to eternity. Dear brother and sister, that is our God. That is our God. Can you say that together with me? That is our God. That is our God. And that is my God. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for your great love to us, Father. Thank you. Let us take a moment to thank God here. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for all that you have done. Now, how does all that happen? Let us continue. Look at verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of work, so that no one may boast. For by grace, yes, we have been delivered by grace. But how does it happen? Through faith. And that is not of yourself. Salvation is not a work that you do. It is the gift of God. It is not a result of works, so that no one can boast. You might ask, what do you mean through faith? I will give you a simple definition. Saving faith is God-given conviction. I repeat here. Saving grace is God-given conviction. God-given conviction for us to believe. To believe what? To believe we are alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in us due to hardness of heart. To believe we have sinned against God. To believe God so loved us, He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to redeem us. Jesus was then resurrected by God 3 days later so that we may have eternal life in Him. This conviction should move us to repent and ask God for the gift of salvation. Today, I ask God to help convict us to repent and ask Him for the gift of salvation. Let us continue. Our last verse. I'm so glad that Paul did not stop explaining at verse 9, or we would miss a very important point. Here, verse 10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Very often, when we hear the gospel of grace, we learn that it is not by works that we are saved. They will jump to the wrong conclusion and say that. It doesn't matter how I live then. As long as I believe, I am on my way to heaven. Hallelujah. But that is not what God intended according to verse 10. Listen to this. We are saved in mercy by grace through faith for good works. Did you notice the words created in Christ Jesus for good works? We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. I repeat again here. We are not saved by good works, but we are saved for good works. Do you see the difference? And that is a whole world of difference when you understand it. No longer, it is like, no longer am I saying, I'm doing good in order to get to heaven. I'm now saying, I'm doing good because I am a citizen of heaven. Because we are God's workmanship. In other words, our good works come from the good work of God. You got that? Because we are His workmanship. Because God has already done a good work in us so that we can do good works according to His will for His glory. And that is how our good works glorify God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You see, we do not have light. But when God put the light in us, that is how we can be His light to shine for others. How beautiful is that? It is His good work in us so that we can do good works for others. And that is how we can bring glory to our fathers in heaven. In my conclusion today, I would like to point out two key applications. First one, we must live our Christian living knowing that we are so loved by God. We have been redeemed by Him from our sinful living. We are the citizens of heaven seated with Christ in heaven. And we are so blessed every day until eternity. Therefore, we are no longer of this fallen world. We are no longer belong to this fallen world. So we should not value the thing of this world. We should not want to live like our old self anymore. Because we have something much more precious now. Our heavenly living with God. We should live as a missionary sent by God to this world to show His love to people who still do not know Him, who still live in darkness, suffering from their trespasses and sin. Point number two. There are only two categories of people in this world, dead or alive. There's nothing in between. You are either dead or alive. You are either a sinner or saved. You are either outside of Christ and living in the world system influenced by the devil, or you are sitting in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. There's no in-between. All of us in this church are either dead, walking in sin, which one day bring you under the wrath of God, or you are alive, created for good works, and you are already sitting in the heavenly place. This morning, I would like to extend my invitation to those who hear this truth after you hear this message and want to accept Jesus to be your Savior and your God. You can pray this with me Dear God, thank you for loving me. I'm truly sorry that I have sinned against you. I'm truly sorry that I have sinned against you all this while. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sin. Please forgive me. Come into my life now and be my Savior and Lord. I want to turn away from a sinful lifestyle, and I want to live for you now and forever. Let me experience your love and your good intention for my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Let us today close in prayer. Father in heaven, you couldn't have said it any more clearly. Your words make it utterly plain. Many of us here think that we know you and we claim that we are Christian. But if there are people here with us who couldn't give a testimony to what Jesus has done in their life, if there is one person here who's still cold and hard and your word just hasn't touched them, oh Lord, quicken them and make them alive. Help them to respond to your love and save them. In Jesus' name, amen.